Reformed Church.
You know, as it relates to like the church's expectations, you know, I when I think about, you know, as the Lord teaches us, I really most of the time don't think just in respect to just our church, right? But I think in respect of the body of Christ, like where's the body of Christ with this? Like how do they believe it, or how do they see it, or how do they read it? How do they understand it? And you know, when you talk about expectation, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's kind of a sad thing. And I remember myself in the mindset that I used to be in, where when you talked about healing, for instance, like you just want to believe in healing. And the question that people ask, you know, do you believe that God heals? Like God, obviously, like thinking like God's actively doing something. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord prospers? And do you, like, it's always the expectation for tomorrow, you know, is based on things like that. Like, are you believing that God is going to make it happen? You know, or or we used to say things like, oh, I'm just believing that I'm healed. I'm just believing that I'm healed. But the thing is, unfortunately, the thing that you're believing is the wrong thing, right? Because God never even one time in all scripture asks you to believe in healing or to believe in prosperity. He asks you to believe in Jesus, not to believe in prosperity. So that believing obviously is misplaced, right? It's not that obviously there's no desire on the side of the person to want to be made well. It's not the fact that the person does not have faith in Jesus. It's that as it relates to their expectation and their hope, it's misplaced, right? So obviously that's not true hope, because it's not, you know, something that is not a sure expectation. How is it hope, right? An expectation is, right, a sure expectation, I should say, or a sure hope. So it just always seems misplaced, right? But in Colossians chapter 3, actually, did I say Colossians? No, 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter 1:3 is what I should have said. 1 Peter, let me go there real quick. 1 Peter 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, right? So he says, again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, it says, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you really look at that, right, and what you really see that he's saying is that the fact that we have been born again and made new, right, the expectation that we have as born again believers is in the resurrected Jesus, right? Like that is your expectation. Like he is your expectation. He is your hope, right? Like if you want your expectation to change, then obviously your faith has to be present, right? So if what you're beholding is the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and what your heart is being renewed to is who Christ is and what he possesses because of what he did, because of the cross, right? Then you see that it says we have been begotten again or born again to a living hope. Like what caught me first was living hope, right? That we have been born again to a living hope. Our hope is based on a living Savior, but not just a living Savior, but in other words, a glorified Savior. So the glory that you find him in, which obviously is why the Lord tells us and he instructs us to behold his glory, your hope or your expectation, your sure expectation, the reason why you can have a sure expectation is because you're beholding a living Savior. And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, when you think about, and I forget the verse right now, actually, I think maybe I might have wrote it here for you, but in Colossians 3, I don't know if we'll get there, but in Colossians 3, he talks about how you know, that we that have been raised with Christ, right? We that have been made new, a new creation as he has been a new creation, right? That we that have been raised with Christ, that have the same resurrection life, it says that we should seek those things that are above, right? In other words, to not be mindful just of things on the earth, but of things above. But the thing is, you know, like, do people ever stop and think, like, what exactly is it that I'm thinking about that is heavenly? Like, what can I know, Right? What can I know? What is it that the Lord, I should say, instead of can I know, what is it that the Lord is trying to instruct me in for me to be aware of that is heavenly and not earthly, right? Like, is the Lord just trying to teach us like what heaven looks like, or the fact that there is no disease or no sickness in heaven? Or is he asking us to behold the glory of the Lord as he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, right? In other words, that what the heavenly one that you're beholding, right, is your sure expectation. In other words, the Lord is teaching us to behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, so that as you behold him, right, you have a heavenly mindset, right? You can't have a heavenly mindset apart from Jesus Christ. I mean, I get it that there's people that try to do that, right? They try to be heavenly minded. They try to think about, you know, what it's going to be like. They try to think about how there's the absence of this or that. But that really, that's empty mental ascent, right? Like to try to think about what heaven is like without understanding why it is that we have access to that today, right? That we have been born again, right, to a living hope, right? The spirit that we have in us, the resurrection life that we have in us, is the same resurrection, right, that resurrection life, I should say, that Christ has. So as you behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, what he says here, going back again to 1 Peter 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So it not only does it specify a living hope, but it says through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our hope, right, is tied to his resurrection. How can your expectation be tied to his resurrection? Because if you were raised up again, as he's been raised up again, right? If you've been raised up again, as he's been raised up again, then your expectation lies, right? Your expectation lies in his resurrection as well. In other words, all that you see that he has, right, from the life of God that he has in him is everything that we have access to here. So how different would the church's teaching about prosperity, how different would the church's teaching about healing be? How different would the church's teaching about our inheritance be, right? If simply what our expectation or our hope was based on was faith in Jesus Christ. And actually, you know what, just to put it, I wrote this down because I thought it was just pretty cool that our expectation for today is Christ glorified by faith in Christ crucified, right? That our expectation for today is Christ glorified by faith in Christ crucified, right? So our faith, right, our knowledge is based on Jesus Christ and him crucified and the glory that would follow, right? But that what that does is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord today is our sure expectation. In other words, we know that we can have what he has today, right? Why? Because he's already given that to us and put it on the inside of us. So I should say, we can be sure that we will manifest, right? We will manifest what we see in him because we have the same thing he has. So our sure expectation for today, not for tomorrow, not just for the by and by, right? But our expectation for today is Christ glorified, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror by faith in Christ crucified, right? Always, because Christ crucified shows you why does he have what he has, and why do I have what he has, right? For the same reason, Christ and him crucified, right? Going back again, we did say, right, 1 Peter 1:3. Let me read that to you again. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I love the fact that it puts his resurrection and hope in the same place, right? "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So you know that all that it's talking about is everything that Christ has, right? Because it's talking about his resurrection, right? It's talking about his inheritance, right? And that's why it's relating to our inheritance. Then verse number 5, it says, "who are kept today in this life," right? "Kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation to be revealed," for salvation to be ready to be revealed in the last time, right? So the power of the age to come, right, is the power, right, that we're kept by today, right? So is there gonna come a day where everything will be made manifest? Sure, right? There'll be a day where everything will be made manifest regardless of what anybody believes today. But the reality of the fact is that what power is it that is towards you today? Today, what is the power that is towards you? And is it any different than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Is it any different than the life and the power that you could behold if you behold his glory today? And it's not, right? Because we know, and I'll show you where that is real quick. It's in Ephesians, right? Ephesians 1 and verse number 19. Ephesians 1, 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, right? To those that are by faith in Christ crucified, right? What is the power that is toward us who believe? It is according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when what? When he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in heavenly places, right? So what he's saying is the power that is toward us, the power that keeps us here in this earth, is the same power that rose Christ from the dead and the power that he possesses today seated at the right hand of the Father. So you see, there's no difference in power between the power that he possesses and the power that's on the inside of us. Why? Because obviously the one that is in us is the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? The power of God and the power of Christ is the power that resides and lives on the inside of us. But it's awesome to see, right, how he says that that it is according to the power, right, that the Lord worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, the same resurrection power. So we can have a sure hope, a sure expectation. And I'll read that little bit to you again just as we wrap up here. But let me bring you to one verse in Colossians. I thought that was good. Colossians chapter 3, and I think we have to wrap up right there, right? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says that if you then were raised with Christ. Like, just think about this again, right? When we're talking about hope, like hope, the sure expectation that we have for today, this is what it's saying about you and me, right? It says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He says to seek those things. Most people are saying, no, I can't even have access to those things. Yet the Lord tells us to seek those things, right, which are right on the inside of us. He said, seek them out, right? Seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's just a cool thing how he stops there in verse number 4, and he says, you know what? As Christ appears, so you see yourself. In other words, when you see him, you see yourself, right? When you see him, you see yourself. So I was going to read that to you one last time, right? Our expectation for today is Christ glorified, right? That's our sure expectation. Christ glorified by faith in Christ crucified, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.